Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I just whipped your ass.
You
take it all away. I'm going to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Oh, the places I've been and the things I've seen in a week's time.
I know. Speaking of most disgusting promotional tactics, that's like our most disgusting tactic is Craig looking for an excuse to talk about Pearl Jam.
What are you talking about?
You always want to talk about the Pearl Jam. Before we get into the Eddie Vedder talk, well, let me introduce our other co-host, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Nothing.
I don't know why I'm shocked every time he has nothing to say.
He has the same fucking question every week.
That is true.
I'm expecting you to actually have an answer for me for once. I mean, Craig. Craig's got about 10 pages of notes that he wants to read off to us right now. So the floor is yours, Craig.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Craig.
I spent some time in Texas this week, and I had a pretty amazing time. I'll just say that. Went to hang out with Mr. Matt Cleary and picked me up Sunday, and we went to a couple of Eddie Vedder shows down there in Houston and had a very nice time with Matt and his family, who I saw literally for like 15 minutes. It was cool. We the first day, it was amazing. We watched the TNA pay-per-view and then the ROH pay-per-view that I missed, and then we went and saw Eddie Vedder. My day was awesome.
That was cool. He didn't force you to watch the football game?
Oh, yeah, we did that on Sunday night, though.
Oh, what night are you talking about? I thought you were talking about Sunday.
No, that was Monday, and then
Monday.
Yeah, flew back. I got home about 10:30 in the evening, and was up by 4:45 to go to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm beat. But yeah, had a real nice time. Thanks, Matt. I know he's probably going to listen. Matt's actually out on a boat himself. He's out on a cruise right now with his lovely wife, and they're drifting away.
After spending the weekend with you, he had to get away, huh?
Well, who wouldn't? How dare you? I'm a very, very nice guy.
He's probably on his way back to Europe now. He's probably done with the United States. He's crazy.
Yes, I'm sure. I stayed at his house, not you.
Yeah. Well, sorry you had to watch the Texans game, and I hope he at least took you someplace good to eat.
Yeah. He took me to all the semi-finest establishments that Houston had to offer. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, I guess we could go ahead and roll into our topic, unless you want to give us, like, the song chart of what Eddie Vedder sang and all that.
I could go over that. I could tell you he did one of my favorite Tom Waits songs, Picture in a Frame, the first night. I could go on and tell you that he did an amazing version of Porch on both nights. I could tell you all that, Ed, but this is a wrestling podcast, and by golly, we're going to talk about Jerry Lawler from Monday.
Well, I mean, we're actually talking about most disgusting wrestling tactics or storylines, and
right.
I see,
but
where,
this is what brought it on.
Yeah, well, I see where that fits in, but you know, there are other events where I was way more disgusted at than this one. This one was just like,
true.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just dead to it all. It didn't bother me.
I had no problem with it. The thing about it with me is the guy's fine. He's standing right there. He's lost 20 pounds, and the only bad thing in his life, he can't eat fried chicken no more. He's alive. You know, I got no problem with it. I can see how some people would, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I don't offend easily or at all. So, that video, I think, is what got most people mad. I think that carried over to the angle, and that video was that was something.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with the angle itself. You know, that was fine because I knew Jerry.
It was very well done, I thought, for what they were doing.
Sure. I don't think it's going to lead to a Punk Lawler match, which it honestly should, and I don't think we need to say anything that anybody else has not said about it. But
the thing about the Punk Lawler match, the thing about that is if they did lead to one, you would be worrying about this fucking guy having a heart attack in the ring, you know?
Yeah.
Storyline would be.
I can tell you exactly what it's going to lead up to. It's going to lead up to the Royal Rumble, CM Punk versus The Rock. Paul Heyman's going to try and hand Punk something so he can use on The Rock, and Jerry Lawler's going to get up and smack Heyman, and that's your angle. He's going to smack Heyman, preventing Punk from getting his weapon or whatever. Rock bottom, 1, 2, 3, title's over. Jerry helps The Rock win. He gets his revenge. He doesn't do anything.
I can see that. That's not bad. But As I was saying, the angle itself didn't bother me. Just like Katrina said, that video beforehand, when they're actually using the defibrillator on Lawler, and they show him loading him into the meat wagon, and they're doing CPR on him, that was kind of cringeworthy.
I did not to see him. Did not need to see him dead.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I knew the angle itself. I knew the angle itself was okayed by Lawler. And I mostly felt sorry for Ross and Cole in that whole thing. Because I think they were having a genuine moment there until Living Color started blaring out of the speakers.
And I knew that was going to happen for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. You know, something's going to go down. It's such a big deal.
It's fucking wrestling. Of course it's had to happen. It can help themselves.
True.
That's the thing. You start, like, you know, you get handed something that you can use, and you start, okay, I can do this, and you just, it's too easy to go overboard. And they go overboard. I mean, the video was pretty bad. I actually kind of
got
through it the first time. So it didn't bother me as bad, but then when I, you know, heard the reviews, I was like, really? They had him snoring? I went back and listened to them, and I was kind of like, okay, this is kind of weird. But, like, if you're not even a wrestling fan, and you tuned into that and saw that, I'm sure everyone who doesn't follow wrestling and they saw that would just assume that that was all the show. That was all an angle. That was all a word. Just the way they showed it. I mean, it was just like they showed so much of it. It's like, how could anyone who didn't know what was going on actually think that actually happened?
You know, when I just thought about this, but when I came back from my accident where I almost lost my right or my left leg, I went back and saw all the guys, Tim Flowers and all the guys that I used to work with, Brian and Vinny were there, and, you know, all the guys, Buddy and Richie and all those guys. I go back, and everybody's so happy to see me, and Tim Flowers comes over and he goes, hey, I heard you were in a wheelchair for a while. I'm like, yeah. He goes, think you can take a bump out of a wheelchair? And I'm like, no. He wanted to wheel me down to the ring and beat me up. Like,
I'm sure
3 months afterwards.
I'm sure it was more personal than him wanting to do an angle.
That's probably true. But yeah, it's anything that is quote unquote real life that you can twist into, make it into a storyline. You know, I understand wrestling and booking, and well, I don't understand booking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what makes you know, like wrestling. That's what makes it like one of the most unique forms of entertainment. You can take a bunch of real life stuff and mix it in. I can't really think of any other like entertainment, scripted entertainment that does that. You know?
Yeah.
Park, maybe.
I mean, Nick Fury isn't yelling at Tony Stark about how he was on a cocaine binge and crawled into some of his room and passed out. You know.
And another thing is like the heart attack angle. It's like it's not like it's new. You know what I mean? I mean, everyone knows about the Fist Fight Eric one, but I'm looking at the Wrestling Observer thing. They get some little tidbits for the blurb. And I totally forgot about the Black Jack Mulligan heart attack angle in Florida.
I'm thinking maybe you heard of that one. Don't really remember it, though.
Well, I remember from the magazines. I didn't see it, of course, but I remember it from the magazines. And then,
how many heart attacks has Flair had?
He had one.
About to say, Flair. I mean, what exactly did he have anyway?
Rick Flair?
Yeah, I mean, like that night that everyone thought he was having a heart attack or whatever. Didn't he actually have something?
He had a spell or something. I don't know.
Are you thinking of Kevin Nash where he thought he was having a heart attack and he ended up, you know, having a bad burrito or something?
No, Rick Flair was cutting the promo and was going crazy like always, and it turned out that
I thought he was hyperventilated or something.
Yeah,
maybe
probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm with you now. Sorry.
Remember he had another, what they thought was one? It was like in 2000, right after he won the world title from Jeff Jarrett, he had like that inner ear thing, and I think he collapsed on Thunder or something, or on Nitro.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember like exactly. I just, you know. But of course, probably the worst one, of course, is going to be the Fritz Von Erich one, just because of everything else that happened before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Basically,
like, what's wrong with these fucking people?
Yeah. Like, basically, World Class is kind of on a decline, and they were actually trying to make a push to put a little life into it, you know, kind of like brought back Terry and Buddy, and they were trying to bring back, well, there was the Blackbirds, not the Freebirds. They said they couldn't get Michael Hayes at the time, but they were at least trying something. And basically, they're in a cage, and you know, they come back, they jump Kerry, they jump Fritz, and they beat up on Fritz a little bit. They actually didn't beat him up too bad or anything. And then at the end of the, after everything's cleared up and fine, Kerry and Fritz are walking back to the back, and Fritz just hits the ground. And, you know what I mean? And Kerry starts freaking out, and then it was a real big deal about it, you know what I mean? They try to make it look as real as possible, that's for sure. And
and I know then, like, in the next few weeks, like, the updates would be positive or negative depending on what the houses were doing at the shows.
Yeah.
If the houses were up, he's doing better. If the houses were down, he's not doing so well.
And yeah, this thing was pretty well documented in the WWE Blu-ray DVD that they just put out on World Class. I wouldn't know a thing about it except for I watched that a couple months ago.
Yeah, and Kevin on the thing tried to come off like it wasn't a heart attack. They never said it was a heart attack. Maybe not, but that's what everybody was led to believe. You'd have to be stupid not to think it was a heart attack.
I don't think Bill Mercer or Lorenz ever said heart attack, but everybody backstage involved in that thing, or, you know, everyone in wrestling business refers to it as a heart attack angle. So that's what it was meant to be. It's just that Kevin can get away with saying that because I don't think Mercer or Lawrence ever said it.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess.
It was still in bad taste, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, the thing is, I love Von Erichs, but I have a very large hatred and amount of disgust for Fritz because of everything that he did. So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, after everything that happened, he does a heart attack angle. It's like, how can you, like, fuck with people's emotions like that? They've already been through enough with the real shit, and now you're trying to scare them and that
well,
real is
stop,
like...
stop watching and going to the shows. They don't have to
do it. Yeah, I mean, it bit him in the ass, but I'm just saying, I mean, he shouldn't have fucking been, you know, he shouldn't have been doing that shit.
And how many brothers had died by then?
I think it was only two. Well, no, it was the youngest, but that was way back. But it was just two at that point. So, but they had their other episodes, you know, like Toxic Shock and Kevin almost dying in the ring, Kerry's motorcycle wreck and stuff like that. And, yeah, I was watching those on YouTube, and they had, like, this little thing on Inside Edition, like, right after Kerry died, they'd interviewed Fritz, and he just says, I can't understand why this keeps happening. I said, dude, you ain't got a fucking clue, do you?
He never did, dude. He never did. He was about making money, dude. But he was about carny to the bone.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there in front of your face. You're the problem.
Yeah.
Not just him, but, you know, but he's part of it.
If he would have just been more of a dad than a promoter, his sons might be still alive, you know?
True. Very true.
I mean, they just, you know, you had like when Kevin collapsed and almost died in the ring, and they came back and said that Brian Adidas used the Oreo on a spike on him, and that's what happened to him or something. So they brought that into an angle.
What exactly happened? He collapsed, and Tommy Rogers, if I'm not mistaken, performed CPR in the ring?
Yeah, I don't know if he was on something or what the deal was, but he collapsed and wasn't breathing. Tommy Rogers gave him CPR in the ring and stuff like that. And I think there was a story, like, people were taking pictures and, like, Brody was slapping cameras out of people's hands or something like that. I don't know how true that is. But
there's also a story that Tommy Rogers got bitched out for doing that by Fritz.
Yeah, he said when he went and got paid the next week by Fritz, he said, thanks for helping my son, but he didn't need it. And, so.
Yeah. So. So I guess we'll be talking more about the Von Erichs in a little while, so let's go ahead and move on to something else.
Okay. Let's go to the next worst one. This might be the worst one of all time. I think the Eddie Guerrero and Hell Angle was the worst ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, what, 6 months after he died?
It's just like I said, they can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They had this awesome Raw and this awesome SmackDown and everything, these awesome shows, and they're kind of just got in their head, okay, we can do some more. And then, of course, they go fucking way overboard. And, yeah, that was pretty fucked up. I mean, I know Orton was still, you know, this is a long time, this is actually quite a while ago, so Orton, you know, he's not as established backstage or whatever, but still, I still would have told him no. I mean, in some ways I can't blame him for doing it because he was doing what he was told, but in some ways it's like you can say no sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, in the spot he was in and, you know, making money, I can understand him not just going along with it and everything. So I don't really hold anything against, like, him or Rey Mysterio or anybody like that in that angle, so...
And a lot of people still kind of point up, like, put, you know, them hiring Vicky with this. And, I mean, that's one good thing. At least Vicky is making money and she's making money now. I mean, she's become a good character. I mean, Vicky's awesome. I love Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, it's like if you can find one good thing out of all that is you can say that Vicky, you know, got a job out of it and is doing actually a good job. It's not just it's not a pity job anymore. It's a job she's earned. But, you know, I mean, as far as everything else, as far as like the, what Randy said, I mean, that's just going, but that's not overdoing it. That's like going about 10 steps too far. Just on what he said. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, Orton, you know, telling Ray that, you know, Eddie's in hell, and then it was just a couple weeks after that, the Big Show, you know, spitting on the lowrider that Ray had brought out. They just exploited the heck out of that, and it's really too bad.
Blew it up, didn't I?
That's right. Didn't
grab it into Undertaker in reverse or something?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I get it, I understand, but still pretty tasteless.
Yeah. This is one that you can't defend this one.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And then so soon, it's not, and then like, you know, it has been one thing if they did it, well, it'd still be a bad and out of taste if they did it today, but I mean, it's years past. And, you know, they did it, like, months after he died.
Yeah, when it was still fresh in everybody's mind.
Yeah.
And this was, like, right after WrestleMania. Remember, Orton, remember he got suspended for, like, 60 days for smoking dope at WrestleMania or something like that? Backstage, so. If he had refused to do it and then got suspended on, you know, what happened at WrestleMania, you know, he maybe got fired or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of the blackest eyes on pro wrestling. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'll throw one out. 2004, Kane had basically kidnapped Lita, and in the storyline, they didn't really, you know, directly say rape or anything like that. But Lita told Matt Hardy that she slept with Kane. So
Kane beat him up.
Yeah, so Kane wouldn't beat him up. And so she was pregnant, ended up losing the baby, and then...
Desnitsky.
And then... what's that?
Desnitsky.
Yeah. Yeah, the... I was in the building the night the baby doll was punted from the ramp.
That was awesome, actually.
And then I saw the kid that caught the doll later on. This was in poor taste, to say the least.
But that was so absurd. I mean, that didn't bother me. I mean, you're sleeping with a dude to pay for a wrestler boyfriend and getting beat up. And then
if I would have learned...
Disney is punting a freaking Cabbage Patch doll across the stadium.
That's like when, it's like in Memphis when Eddie Gilbert told Jerry Lawler that his pile driver gave Andy Kaufman cancer and killed him. That's just like so absurd, you got to laugh at it.
I did learn one thing from this. I should have threatened Matt Hardy when he was dating Lita. Anyway.
Yeah, but I mean that was just so fucking hilarious. That actually didn't offend me in the slightest bit.
It was just stupid.
It was tasteless, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah, a lot of these, when I say tasteless angles are in bad taste, it doesn't exactly mean I think they're bad. I mean that I was negative about them, but I mean you can
most of them won like most disgusting thing in the Observer or
yeah.
Mm.
You know, so I mean, but then again, somehow fought back with the title ring. I don't understand that.
Understand
somebody
that.
Fucking explain that shit to me. Bob Backlund wasn't that bad. I actually saw a few good matches with him back then.
Oh, he was
something
offensive. Told
me he was champ for like 4 years. I mean, shit.
And he had a run event with Bret Hart.
The Observer Radio to Dave and ask him what that award was for. I don't understand it.
He had a meeting about with Bret Hart. That offended me.
The what with Bret Hart?
He had a main event with Bret Hart. That offended me.
Yeah. And a boring ass match, too.
Oh, yeah. That was no good.
What are you talking about? Owen Hart was freaking 5 stars in that match.
I don't need to see an 8-minute chicken wing. That's too much. Sorry, I draw the line.
Yeah. Agreed.
Although Owen Hart was good, and that's the only thing to kind of save that, but still. And thank God he lost. He lost it to Kevin Nash, but Bob Backlund, I never could get into Bob Backlund. He was just...
That kid, you're a plebeian. That kid, you're a plebeian, like you would say.
I'm not a plebeian. For what? I'm not an actor.
True.
Bob Backlund was awesome. Fuck y'all. But I guess we could go to... I guess I can pick one now.
Yeah.
Did you get the list, I think, y'all?
Yeah, I saw it.
I did not. I'll check it out here in a minute.
God, you need to do your homework for the show, dude. Come on.
I've been busy this week, Eddie.
But let's talk about the WWF taking, what do you call it, taking advantage of a fucking war.
Yep.
And doing it with... And having not only having it, you have having a turncoat traitor, but it was freaking G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. You know, they did this more than once. Remember,
they did
Muhammad Hassan? Muhammad Hassan and also with Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, but one lasted a couple of weeks and one lasted like a year.
True.
I would say lasted.
One had Muhammad Hassan and one had Sergeant Slaughter, who was part of G.I. Joe. And there's totally different things on the radar. But, yeah, like, you had Sergeant Slaughter, who was a career bad guy for the majority of his career until he got to the WWF and then he feuded with the Iron Sheik and then became super popular. He got on G.I. Joe, was fucking... on all kinds of different TV shows, and was just real popular. He left the WWE, went to like the AWA for a while, and then was just doing like conventions, stuff like that. And then they have the Gulf War starts, and then Sergeant Slaughter comes back, turns his back on his country. He's wearing like Iraqi colors.
Actually, just the crisis in the Gulf at the time. It wasn't a full blown war when they started this.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And so he's got the Iron Sheik as Colonel Mustafa.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got Adnan El Casey, who was a manager in AWA, as General Adnan. Or was that his name?
General Adnan, yes.
Yeah, General Adnan. So he got to keep his name.
He was Hussein's cousin or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So they were, like, just talking bad about America and siding with Iraq and the Middle East and... yeah, that thought was pretty fucked up back then.
I got a bunch of those observers from back then. I'm just going back and reading, like, all the letters and stories on that. Man, people were pissed off about that.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Craig?
I really enjoyed the Sergeant Slaughter Hogan match from that led up to that. So, you know.
Yeah, I liked the whole thing with when... I was surprised that he won the title. It's like Sergeant Slaughter was champion in 1991. I said, well, I know where this is going.
Wait, was that when, okay, he beat the Warrior. Was that when they had the magic scepter?
Then that's when Macho King had the scepter. You know, he was trying to get
the
magic with the Warrior.
That fell apart before he hit Warrior, or?
I don't remember if that happened. I just know he cracked him with it.
Yeah.
Randy Savage was the best worker in that match between the Ultimate Warrior and Sergeant Slaughter.
Slaughter was awesome back in the day, though, dude.
I mean, he was, like, one of the best, really one of the top workers, like, back in the 80s, like, I guess early, mid-80s. And then he just kind of dropped off. I think he just got lazy or something.
He got old, basically.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just let, he just, like, you know, once he became popular, he kind of got out of shape. But if anyone who doesn't think Sergeant Slaughter can fucking work, all I got to say is watch the match with Pat Patterson and, like, the Anything Goes, I forgot what kind of a match. It's some kind of, like, no rules match with Pat Patterson.
It was a street fight or something in Madison
Square
Garden. Street
fight, yeah. The street fight with Pat Patterson, Sergeant Slaughter, and you will see Sergeant Slaughter working his ass off like you've never seen him before. He is totally amazing.
I think it's on that first, that only.
It's on the DVD of the Hall of Fame with Slaughter.
Yeah, Hall of Fame 2004. It's on that DVD. So.
Good to know.
Remember when he threw fire at the Hulkster when he was celebrating with Mean Gene in the dressing room back in. After you won the title?
Yeah.
I remember the worst. I just thought of this match as like the worst pay-per-view main event of all time. Sergeant Slaughter, General Adnan, Colonel Mustafa versus Warrior and Hogan with Sid as the referee.
Ooh. And oddly enough, Sid was the best worker in that match. No, I'm kidding.
And Warrior quit after the match, or he got fired, or whoever you want to believe.
Didn't he disappeared halfway through the match too.
I think it was like right at the end. He chased the other two, like the
stuff,
and then out to the dressing room with a chair, and we never saw him again.
Yeah, he didn't come back to celebrate or anything. It was just like darn.
The match made in heaven was better than this fucking match.
Yeah.
And then all those, you know, weeks later, he came out and said he wanted his country back. He was going to all the monuments and begging for friends or something.
Yeah.
And of course, all the Americans took him back.
And then he hit him with the mount, and the mount he brought out the Super Shock Stick, which was like a baseball bat, and nailed him with it, which nobody on this phone remembers but me.
Remember when he would like pretend like he was pushing the button on the on that shock stick and you would hear the fake electricity over the
like when he poured the water on Bret Hart and nailed him with the shock stick.
Yeah.
Remember he did that to Roddy Piper, but Roddy Piper had a wetsuit on under his shirt.
Yes,
and it was in shock proof.
Big letters, shock proof.
That was funny.
I'll tell you, wait, one hard take angle, somebody might have, I'm sure somebody thought it was in bad taste, but it was too hilarious when Jake threw Damien on Andre and he had a heart attack. That was awful. I think the worst thing in that was that they were throwing this poor snake around on this big monster.
Imagine he would, like, rolled on him.
Bobby Heenan's in there. He's pounding on Andre's chest with his fist.
Yes, he was.
Oh, man, that was, like, that's got to be the only great heart attack angle ever.
I forgot about Bobby Heenan doing that. That was amazing. Open hand, above the head, slamming it down on the face. Awesome.
Oh, remember when, well, here's kind of while we're mentioning the snake, remember Earthquake? When he gave the snake
that killed his ass. That's right. He squished the snake.
I figured that was like.
I remember when Jake lifted the bag and had a little away.
I figured they had two bags, and they had the real one with Damien, and then they had maybe one with like a bunch of hamburger meat or something in it that he just, you know. Was doing these splashes on or something, and Jake looked in it and said, "God damn." That was actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Bad, he's been involved in a bunch of stuff. Randy Savage biting the snake, or the snake biting Randy Savage was 5 stars.
It would have been cooler if Savage would have bit the snake.
He wouldn't have done as much damage as the snake did.
It's true.
Fucking snake went into business for himself. That's just fucking crazy. And then it was like, wasn't it like a King Cobra? Like some fucking
Yeah.
It was a king cobra?
Yeah, it wasn't just like a little cobra. It was like a giant python-sized cobra almost.
Yeah, it was a king cobra.
Yeah. That
was silly. No wonder.
Then he went to WCW, and you remember that he had the match with Sting and the Coal Miner's Glove match, and Sting had him with the Coal Miner's Glove where he had the snake in his hand, and then the snake was, he attached himself to Jake's face, or Jake made the snake attach himself to his face or something.
That was a horrible fucking match. I remember that.
Yep.
Jeez. And then he went to Mexico, and he fucking DDT the little midget on the concrete.
That was awesome. In that cage match and stuff. I love that stuff.
Oh, man. Fucking Jake.
I thought of one that you didn't put on the list.
Okay.
It was Hawk.
Oh,
WWE,
yeah.
WWE when he was drunk. And him and Draws, wasn't it?
Animal brought in Draws, and he was pissed off about that.
Yeah. And Murray so it ended up
when their music would hit, and the pyro would go off, and he rolled down the ramp because it scared the shit out of him because he was like on drugs or something.
Yeah, and he was like legit going through some stuff. You know, I think he was in rehab at the time, and he was, his personal life was all messed up, and the next thing you know, Hawk's on top of the Titantron threatening to jump.
How close was this to all the Scott Hall shit that they were doing on and WCW?
It was around the same time. The exact same time.
Yeah. You got two storylines of two guys who obviously have problems that everybody knows about, and they're having them come out and act high or drunk.
That Draws was the one to give him all the drugs. And so Draws went up on the Titantron to raise him with him and pushed him off, and saw this big limp, this body just fall down, the silhouette of his body falling back to the Titantron. And
that's right. That was
so absurd, I had to laugh at it a little bit. It was just kind of, just so silly.
Hawk was just so, like, overdoing it, you know, the selling of being, like, fucked up.
Or was
he? He did a good job, I thought. I mean, you know, that was, well, back then he was. I thought back then he was really fucked up. I didn't know. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
I still wonder if Scott Hall really was fucked up that one time he was supposed to be drunk.
I wouldn't be surprised. I remember when he threw up on Bischoff.
He had his drink,
and he had he had Benson at ringside with holding his drink with a little umbrella in it.
Yeah.
I always thought it was funny when they went to, like, Atlantic City for, like, primetime wrestling, and Buddy Heenan always had to have a drink, but you got to make sure he's got an umbrella in there. It's not, like, a real drink. So.
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Katrina. Yeah.
Okay, here's one. It was, I thought it was a bad taste. It wasn't just, like, a story. It was just something that happened in a match. When Canyon was thrown off a three-tiered cage in the arena when Hart died in.
Yeah. Kemper Arena, right?
Yeah.
And he crashed through the stage, as I remember.
I'm constantly amazed by how these people do these things. They have to know what they're doing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
They think they come up with this great idea. They just don't bother to realize where they're at or when the climax of this thing is coming, and it just happens to be in the very wrongest building they could be in, and then they still do it.
Yeah, and I don't know. Just people running this business are, like, fucking disgusting sometimes.
well, speaking of that, I know we've never actually talked about this. You know, Owen Hart died basically in the ring in the Kemper Arena. Should they have? Was it in poor taste to continue with that pay per view?
I don't know.
I don't blame them for that because it's a live pay per view and there's all kinds of things going on, and who knows what they're thinking. I can't blame it for it. If he had died maybe an hour before, like on a test run, I can maybe kind of see them doing that. But, I mean, there's a lot of shit going on. You can't really blame them for that.
I don't know. I go back. I just don't know what I would do unless I'm, like, it's my decision at that point in time. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I couldn't imagine being one of the boys, you know, getting word that one of your boys is dead. And you got to go out there, and I remember, I think it was Undertaker and Stone Cold in the main event that night.
Yeah, and I just remember an interview with Sean Waltman. His match was before the accident was over, and he said if his match would have been after, you wouldn't have seen him on the show because they wouldn't have gone out there. I mean, Jeff Jarrett was like one of his best friends. They're sitting there cutting a promo for this match, and Deborah's in tears. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Ann has to work with Nicole Bass.
Wow. That makes me cry, too. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. That was just a shitty night. All right, it's turning.
You're up, Eddie.
All right, well, I guess we can just shoot back to the Von Erichs and talk about how. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Well, to me, one of the most disgusting things ever is how they used Mike Von Erich after he had his toxic shock syndrome. To me,
yeah.
I can't think of anything else that makes me sicker to my stomach than everything that happened. You have a guy who, he has surgery. He gets some kind of rare thing that mainly women get. It's almost like very uncommon for men, but somehow he got it. It almost killed him. He was so sick it fried his brain basically. He pretty much was on death's doorstep, but luckily he didn't die. And then the next week on TV, Fritz is there talking about how he's going to not only wrestle again, but he's going to be like a world champion. And he's doing it standing over the doctors, and you just see the look of like. Discuss on the doctors are like, what? How can you say this? You know, I mean, it's just the most fucked up thing. They bring him out for an interview. He looks like he's a cast member from The Walking Dead. He's so skinny, pale. One of his eyes looks funny. You know, it's just he looked like a freaking living skeleton. You know, and then you know they made a big show out of it, like his return. Which. Was actually a pretty good show, but I mean, they shouldn't have, you know, it's just Fritz trying to make money again. It's like, he turned everything into somehow to make money. You know, maybe that's how
the show that they, this was the show they brought in Lance because they were running out of Von Erichs.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, a couple years later, they, Mike died and then, well, now we got to rename the Parade of Champions, the David and Mike Von Erich Parade of Champions Memorial.
Yeah.
And the macabre down.
But it's just like, I mean, and then, you know, I was a kid, you know, watching that on, you know, because they showed so much stuff from the hospital and Mike, I mean, stuff they really shouldn't have showed. And it's just, you know, right there, like I say, you know, he put money over his kids. You know, maybe that's how he coped. You know, maybe that's how he got over his grief was by making money. But, I mean, it was just one of the most fucked up things. And the kid was never the same. And Fritz is still pushing to be a wrestler and this and that. And he basically drove his son to kill himself.
Yep.
Yeah, he was not much of a pop. He was not much of a father. It's too bad. I mean, kids were all really talented. Well, most of them.
Well, you know, like I think Mike and Chris, they never should have been in the ring. They're, you know, Mike, I don't think he even wanted to be a wrestler. Chris, he was a little one, I'm sure that's all he dreamed about. You know,
yeah,
just,
when it comes to Chris, you know, I don't so much put like what happened on Fritz, because Chris wanted to be in there. He he's like diabetic or asthmatic, and he just
wasn't big enough to do it, and he couldn't take it, not being able to do that. So, I mean, I saw a tag match with, like, him and Chris Adams, and he was so small, it looked stupid that he was in there wrestling.
It's too bad.
Yeah, he was like a mini-me Kerry Von Erich, basically.
Yeah.
that whole thing is also talked about on the WWF World Class DVD. That's a really great DVD, actually, even though it made me cry. But anyway. I know the character that, I'll throw this out. The character Eugene was cute and funny, and but basically they have a mentally handicapped wrestler. And I thought that was kind of in poor taste.
Well, to kind of be fair, it was Nick Dinsmore that came up with that.
Yeah, I get that, but...
And as retarded as the character was supposed to be, he was actually kind of smart.
Yeah, I was entertained by it.
You know, I mean, I like the Eugene character. I mean, it didn't bother me at all. I think it was supposed to be a takeoff on the retarded guy from Something About Mary, kind of. And it didn't really bother me. I mean, and then it produced one of the greatest skits of all time, the musical chairs.
True.
You know, so.
Remember when he shot William Regal in the nuts with the t-shirt gun? And he was playing with his power over.
He's retarded.
And almost killed William Regal, and he was jumping in the balls in the ball pit with Triple H. You're having fun. That was good stuff.
Yeah,
I would have loved to have been in that meeting. Okay, we're gonna introduce a mentally handicapped character.
Oh, I'm gonna put something at the mouth.
I think they just wanted to give Eric Bischoff a retarded relative.
I retired a relative that was smarter than him.
Didn't he beat Bischoff in the hair match? Eugene beat Bischoff in the hair match. I think it was like Cyber Sunday or something. Like maybe the first one.
Man.
And they were shaving Bischoff's head, and his head started turning white. And they were making fun of him. And he made a coachman put on a dress and said, "Button up that dress, you slut."
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I got one. The WWE, or WWE, yeah, the WWE, using the freaking Lex Luger 911 call when Miss Elizabeth
was
dying.
God. That was
crazy. I mean, I can understand they hate Lex Luger because he showed up on the first Nitro and he was just like out of WWE or whatever. But that, you talk about cold blooded, that's pretty fucking cold blooded right there.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say you could swag somebody that much to do something like that.
I don't hate it.
You press the company without
crying on the phone asking for help because his girlfriend is dying.
Yeah.
Or dead already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's messed up.
I know a lot of people say I feel bad for him, but I feel bad for him.
Absolutely.
No, he didn't. I hate when people say, like, he killed her. That's so fucking stupid. It's not even funny. No,
she knew what she was doing.
She knew. She's the one that took pills and decided to drink, to take them with vodka and all that stuff. And that's, you know.
Yeah.
He may have helped her along. He may have gotten her into it. But in the end, she's the person responsible.
Absolutely.
I don't like blaming somebody for something like that. I don't think it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like he's been, I don't know if he's still in the wheelchair, but I mean, you know.
I don't think he is.
I didn't see him for a while.
I remember the last time I saw him was when they showed the highlights of Sting's Hall of Fame induction.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he was He wasn't. He didn't go up to the podium, so I figure he couldn't move well. He was still sitting at the standing at the table. So I figured, you know, he wasn't doing so well that way. Did he have like a spinal stroke or something?
I don't know what it was.
That sounds right. I know it was. I'm pretty sure it was a stroke of some kind.
I think it was at that horrible San Francisco wrestling convention from a few years ago.
Yeah, they had like a bunch of stuff go down then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where Don Fry got knocked out at the elevator or something.
Yeah, it was all the girls
there.
He got checked. It was all the bounty hunter's son's boxing coach.
Yeah, his MMA coach or something.
And Don Fry was fucked up. I mean, he felt like a rock when he did fall. I mean, but I mean, he was so drunk. There's nothing he could have done. That dude was gonna knock him out regardless.
And that was when they were having trouble with like the, you know, they had this wrestlers MMA convention, so it was like the promoter just disappeared and people weren't getting their money or something. And so, I don't know. When Scott Norton's mad at you, then
that's another disgusting little tactic right there. Because again, what's his name? Dr. Lano or whatever comes on Brian's show and he starts talking about marks and money marks. Okay. And it's like, hello, what are you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a fucking hypocrite. I mean, I just was like, what the fuck? You're a professional fucking money mark for wrestlers. And you're going to talk about other marks or other... It's like, shut up. All right, somebody go ahead.
Turn it up.
This is the one that's going to be just funny because this is the one that probably hated the most just because I feel very uncomfortable watching this. Was when Vince made Trish get undressed and bark like a dog.
So hot and so wrong all at the same time.
I know. I was about to say that. It was so disgusting but so goddamn hot at the same time.
Just watch that and it just like felt, God, this is terrible.
And you shower.
Yeah.
I think it was like right after, I think something happened at the Royal Rumble or something. And then, you know, Trish had been with Vince because Linda was sedated in her wheelchair. And I think he had turned on her or something, and then she was crying and stuff and wanted her job back, so he made her take her clothes off. And she was down basically to, like, a full 90. And that was,
did she get on all fours? And she got on all fours and parked like a dog.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't get offended, but that one didn't really offend me. It just kind of like made me feel uncomfortable. I said, this poor woman.
I don't know what it is with Vince. I wish I could.
He hates women, dude.
You get inside of his dark, disgusting mind just for a little bit. I mean, just the whole kiss my ass club. Really? You really want another man's lips on your buttocks? I have no desire for that, by the way. And how many people have joined this club? Regal is, of course, the best.
I think Regal was the only willing one that actually did it.
His facial expression.
And that was the best one.
No.
He put the lip gloss on.
And that was actually pretty damn awesome the way that statement went, because it was so damn funny. I couldn't hate that. But
Regal such eats the man. By the way, I hate to plug another podcast, but if you go back and listen to Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling and check out his interview with Regal Part 1 and 2, it's just phenomenal. Cheap plug for Colt.
Well, get Colt on the show.
He has tried. He's got his own podcast, Ed.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I'll throw out one real quick, and it ended up being funny, but something about the Big Show riding on his father's casket through the graveyard. As comical as it was in poor taste.
Dude,
I thought the whole thing was in poor taste because they were using, you know, like his dad had cancer and then he died.
Yeah.
He found out he was a bastard child, the boss man did, and when confronted his mommy.
He broke his watch and showed the casket. You know what? I'm probably one of the very few people who have ever seen this. I think I brought it up on the show before, but some dude made a little movie where he fucking spliced footage from Pulp Fiction and the WWE, and basically on Pulp Fiction, you know, when the guy goes to give the kid the watch, his dad's watch. Well, yeah. They show that, and then it's the Big Show's watch, and it's the boss man breaking the, you know, the watch. So they kind of splice stuff like that. And then they show the scene where he takes off with the casket, and the Big Show jumps on top. So he shows that scene, but he added the Dukes of Hazzard music. You have no idea how many shades of awesomeness this added to the already awesome visual of the Big Show on top of the casket.
That reminds me of the Blues Brothers car. I don't know where that came from or why it was done.
Let's think of the boss man. He's been in some bad shit. He was with the Big Show. And then when we talked about the other day where he fucking killed Pepe and sent him to Al Snow.
that whole car chase thing.
I remember when he feuded with Dave Sullivan and Dave Sullivan's pet rabbit Ralph gave him hives because he was allergic.
Oh, man. Go ahead, Craig. You were saying something.
Oh, it's off topic now, but I remember the whole car chase thing reminded me of an episode of The Simpsons. Chief Wiggum's trying to chase down Homer and oh my gosh, what should I do? And Bart's like, well, first off, turn off that getaway music. And like he reaches over and turns off the Dukes of Hazzard style music. And all of a sudden, Wiggum's like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Anyway.
I'll bring up one to one of our biggest listeners who's demanding that I put him over strong on Twitter. And Mark really wants us to talk about all the Mark Henry stuff that they did, from Mark Henry getting a blowjob from a tranny to having giving birth to a hand that we just saw a few months ago, all grown up, and wanting to fuck his sister, and even backstage shit when they made him eat a Subway full of shit.
Dude,
yeah, that's
that
what I'm
going
to do with the Mark Henry sandwich. I'm going to do that to this sandwich.
At that time, they wanted so badly for him to quit. I mean, they had to. They had him locked up for a 10-year contract. When he came in, he didn't do anything. So,
broke his leg like the first
quit.
Night in. Broke his leg like the first night in or something.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, like, a year and a half ago, he started getting really awesome.
Yeah. It was like only a couple years before that, they were still doing stuff with billing him as the Razorback, a black man billed as a gorilla.
Yeah.
Really?
The Silverback.
Silverback, yeah.
Yeah, tasteless.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't think about that?
Remember when didn't he get eliminated from one of the Rumbles by China?
Might have been. That stuff with Mark Henry, I just saw it. I wasn't like offended by any of it. It was just so damn stupid. It was like, whatever.
Yeah.
At least we got the payoff of seeing the hand grow up because he was at Raw 1000.
They should have had him walk by really fast or something. They should have flew him in. And what's behind that hand?
You know, I when he was in talking to the psychiatrist and you know, he was talking about, you know, sex with his sister, I almost swore off wrestling back, you know, 12, 13 years ago when that was on. That was like, really?
I remember when Sammy the Tranny gave him a BJ. A blowjob.
That's right.
Oh, man, that was funny.
Of course.
more WWE, so.
He does, like, disgusting stuff that I don't want to watch. But it's so stupid, I mean.
Oh, and then it was such an obvious dude that, like, how did he even, like, and then he's so shocked when she takes off her
it was like when Flair was in drag, just like, that's the ugliest woman I've ever seen. Come on.
And hey, no one's uglier than Miss Atlanta Lively.
Yeah, like that one dude, Ron Bass, or Nicole Bass you were talking about earlier. Yeah.
But they're both dudes.
That's 5 miles of bad road right there. That's all I know. Oof. Goodness.
Okay, here's one for you. Shawn Michaels and God versus the McMahons.
Yeah, I had a problem with that.
Well, you're the born-again Christian. Tell us your problems with that, Craig.
Well, look at it from Sean's point of view, number one. I mean, God ended up winning in the end, but just the McMahon in the church. I remember the speech. He was like behind the pulpit cutting a promo on the good book. Just like, really, you're cutting a promo on the Lord right now. And then there was the tag match, Shawn Michaels and God versus the McMahons.
He no-showed.
Yeah,
you're forgetting when Vince made miracles happen. He already threw the fish and more fish flew, and then at the end Shane had a bottle of water and it turned into wine.
I remember when
I'm sorry, but that was an awesome angle. That did not offend me. That highly entertained me.
Well, remember when they introduced God and they had the spotlight shining on him and the spotlight was moving down the... Are you serious? That's ridiculous.
That was so crazy. How could anyone get offended? That was awesome.
This wasn't
it really
offended. It was so absurd and stupid that... I mean, I just had to laugh at it, you know. I remember when he was standing there in that church, the pulpit, and Shane was beside him, and he said something, and then Shane moved a few feet to the left, so he wouldn't be near him when lightning strikes.
Oh gosh, yeah, it was so dumb. I mean, come on. Of course, we're talking about the same man that killed himself. On national TV, blew his memo up. Yeah. And then had to make a sheepish apology the next week when Chris Benoit was, anyway.
Oh, and remember when the Raw set fell on him?
That's right.
And it was like a week after that TNA worker died.
Yeah.
And actually the TNA pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
Hey, I just remember Paul London having that stupid look on his face that got him buried when it was in the bag going.
What's so awesome is the way Vince just stops and looks at him. It's like, you don't realize what's actually happening right in front of you at the time. You're thinking he's like, maybe it's part of the script or whatever, but it's like during this fucking drawn out, like, big thing, he stops and looks at Paul London and is like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then they were going to do they had the 3-hour Raw set for, they were going to do the big funeral for Vince, and they had casket and stuff in the ring, and that's where they had announced that Benoit and his family were dead. So,
yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What was that, in Houston?
It might have been because SmackDown was here in San Antonio the next night.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty sure it was in Houston. And they just canceled the whole show, and they had a few guys say some stuff, and they played like some of the stuff from his DVD and stuff like that for 3 hours. And That's just, talk about bad timing.
Right.
Yeah, I think Sherry Martel was a bad run that time, too.
Gosh. I'll throw one out here. How about Rey Mysterio's kids? We had, there was a custody battle between Rey and
Eddie.
Ray.
For Dominic.
Eddie and Rey. For Dominic.
Okay, this is another one where I could see why maybe the thought or the idea might offend somebody, but this was a freaking awesome feud, and everybody was awesome, from both wives to the kids to everyone. It was an awesome angle. I love this angle. It was fucking brilliant, dude.
They had a ladder match for a child.
Yes, it
That's
was
right.
awesome. And they
and
had
then,
they had the counselor and...
That's right.
Yeah.
And
then
not. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if it was like right from this, like this was going on, but who's going to ever forget the promo Eddie cut on Ray without ever saying a word?
I remember him sitting, he was sitting in a rocking chair in the middle of the ring with the spotlight on him, telling like bedtime stories or something. I don't remember. I remember they had one match, and this was awesome. Because Dominic was at ringside, and he kind of went over there and put his hands, arms around Dominic or something. He's looking all uncomfortable, and then Taylor said, "Eddie Guerrero's a freaking asshole." He's right there in the air. It's awesome.
and then fast forward years later, and I was in the building for this too. CM Punk coming out and singing "Happy Birthday" to Ray's daughter. It was creepy and awesome all at the same time.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty awesome performance.
That was an amazing performance, not just by Punk, the little girl.
By the daughter. The daughter's freaking out.
Oh, my gosh. Crying. It was just, it was creepy, a little bit tasteless, but it was a thing of beauty.
Ray's kids got some talent, both of them.
I'll tell you. And he might be taller than his dad by now.
How many?
Just saying.
How about Oklahoma?
Oh, gosh. That ticked me off.
Yeah, that this one did piss me off, too.
Yeah.
This was actually started at WWF when Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara were still there, and they did a little thing where I don't know. I think Tiger Ali Singh brought out had Ed Ferrara come out and was had like fanning the crowd and doing a imitation of Jim Ross, you know, like his with his looked like he's had his face is paralyzed and you know just doing the exaggeration, you know, like the screaming three times like JR did, and then Dr. Jeff came out and dropped him on his head and killed him. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Wasn't that around the time they brought in Kurt Angle? Because I remember him doing something with Tiger Ali Singh before.
Yeah, I think they did do something with him the first time Kurt Angle was on WWE TV, like on Sunday Night Heat or something. I mean, they still had that show, but I can't remember what it was. Then Russo and Ferrara went to WCW, and that's when he brought out the character of Oklahoma, like every week. Mm-hmm. He won the Cruiserweight title.
Yep.
And then Dr. Death standing right behind him as his muscle.
Yeah, Dr. Death would piss off at Jim Ross at that point, so I can understand. He'd probably get paid pretty good, too. So I think he was like killed all the luchadors in one match, just dropped them all on their heads or something. But, this was a bad one because, I mean, I think JR's probably like one of the most respected people in the business.
Absolutely.
Now,
I mean, to me, greatest announcer of all time, but, you know.
Well, the sidetrack. Let's talk about when they decided, a little before this, when they decided they were going to make Jim Ross heel on the WWE. And who could ever forget when he had him come out and build his own announcing table?
I remember when he went heel in 96 when he brought fake Diesel and Razor back.
Yeah, that made me hate him.
Because he was... He's cutting a promo in the ring, and it's a bunch of shit I didn't know. I didn't know he got fired for having Bell's palsy or stuff like that, and
This was his revenge. Yeah. Some revenge.
Yeah.
Well, he got taken off.
Joke was on us.
Yeah. It only lasted a few weeks because everybody turned Jim Pace back to face anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Ross has been Vince's whipping boy for such a long time.
The Dr. Hanging thing?
Oh, jeez. I'm hoping that they send him off right. And, you know, when he actually does retire, I hope Vince will take a kick in the nuts from him. You know what I mean? That what a perfect send-off. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Boom! Down he goes. Riding off into the sunset like the cowboy he is.
Yeah, that's
awesome. A lot
of people
say stuff about, you know, like, well, Jim Ross just needs to quit. He needs to just stand up for himself a bit. Jim Ross maybe don't even care at this point.
He might not.
And it don't make him look bad when they do this shit. It makes him look like a bunch of assholes.
True.
That's what it does.
Be a star. So. Be a star, WWE. Be a star.
Yeah. Oh, this one's stupid, too. I'm not saying
yeah.
they're stupid for getting involved with, like, this anti-bullying stuff, but...
Yeah, I hear you.
The wrestling was built on people being bullies, like, in angles. I mean...
Oh, yeah. That's the whole point.
Like, big guys,
the heels
are bullies.
If big guy picks on little guy beats up big guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those weird things that, I don't know, funny.
Speaking of something like that, like I was trying to get Paul Lazenby on the show, but it's just pretty crazy because he's over there where the fights are happening tomorrow, so he just didn't have the time. But he actually wrote a big article and got some attention because he, because of the whole WWE Susan Coleman, or what the hell is her name?
Yeah, that's Susan G. Coleman.
Susan G. Coleman cancer thing, because you know he was a little rough on Cena, because I think it's more WWE than Cena, but I mean Cena could have done some research and said no. But the thing is, like they did all this for the whole month. They had these videos, Susan Coleman, that selling the pink cap, the shirt. They brought a couple of higher ups from Susan Coleman up on Raw. They gave them a check for $1 million. They were all happy celebrating. Well, the reason they're happy celebrating is not because $1 million is going to go to cancer research. It's because $800,000 just to go to their vacation funds and their pensions and all that stuff, because it's only somewhere between 20, maybe not even 20, maybe it's like 20 to 5, somewhere between 20 to 5 cents actually goes to cancer research, whereas the other 80%, 95% goes to the people running the organization. So it's like, you know, it's one of these, you know, it's like, you know, there's a lot of, like, Paul Lazenby put a list of things if you want to donate to, like, cancer research. This is where the good ones, because...
Yeah.
He had a deal with him when his wife died, who was a WWE diva, and, you know, he just has the most hardest time, and he just has the most disrespect for these people. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, they hear the name Susan Coleman, they think it's all good, but if you actually do some research, it is not on the most up-and-up charity there is out there.
And not to get completely off topic, but my good friend Brian Alvarez lives very close to Seattle, where the organization is based. And we have, here in the Seattle area proper, have been told about this for months. You know, in Washington, on this side of the mountains in Washington, it is not new news that Coleman is scraping off the top and living a pretty luxurious lifestyle and you know, kind of getting rich off of charity. And, you know, we here in Washington hear that a lot because it's on the news all the time. And you would have think somebody would have done a little bit of research. That's all I'm saying. I mean, all they would have had to have done is turn on NBC News in Seattle, and they could have figured it out that fast.
And what's so funny is they decided to team up with them at exactly the time that it's making national news. You know,
yeah.
They have The only luck they had is just bad luck. It was just like, oh, let's do something good, get this publicity. At the same time, the publicity is getting skewered everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people like, but it's been that, well, maybe a little bit to do with that, but.
Hey guys, I just noticed that we got a caller on hold, and they've actually been on hold for about 10 minutes. I wasn't even looking at the search for, so I'm going to go ahead and take the caller. And it was on a caller calling from area code 618. Who's this?
Yo, what's up, Ed? It's the Sniper Man.
What's up, man? I just remembered you were calling. That's why I took the switchboard, and then there you
are.
Hey,
it's all right, brother. I appreciate it being put on here. I was listening to you guys enjoying the show. When it comes to disgusting promotional tactics, nobody other than the Prince of Piss, you know, could be more appropriate. Now, with that being said, I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time on your program tonight. But it is not necessarily to promote myself. It's actually to promote in over a week's time on Sunday, the 25th, we are going to be doing a podcast reunion show with it being the theme of a Buddy Wayne tribute. And, you know, Ed, I know that you can appreciate the podcast as back in the day, people that, you know, the young boarders may not know this, before Cotrer and Craig jumped on the coattails, it was you and Terry Fierro pioneering the broadcast, and you know, you got to give him props for basically being the other guy that was coming up with entertaining radio. He's since dropped off that market, but we are going to return for one night only. We're going to be bringing back Julio Scissors, who is a fan favorite, and the show is going to be completely centered around the podcast all-time biggest, all-time most favorite guest, that being Buddy Wayne. So, you know, I hope everybody tunes in and enjoys the show. I wish that I could talk more about the news that I have, the scoop that I have that people are wanting to know. I've been getting PM left and right on Facebook, on the board from people. I also want to take this time to issue an apology to the people on the board, and this is very sincere. I truly apologize for starting a fever around a rumor that I was not able to substantiate with any kind of information, because I have been hushed, and the mum is the word from Terry Fierro pretty much forever on this deal, unless I get clearance to be able to release the news. Now, Craig has some insight into Brian Alvarez or some connection with Brian Alvarez, and I guess my challenge would be to him is to have Brian Alvarez do some investigative reporting, you know, something that he's probably never done in his adult life, and actually figure out what the fuck is going on here, because it is something relevant to everybody that is a fan of the audio on the board. And I'm going to just leave it at that. It's something that's relevant to everybody that enjoys or has enjoyed the podcast or the broadcast that have ever been done on the board. I'm going to leave it at that. It is something serious. It's not a joke. It's not a kayfabe sniper gimmick to put something over. It's not a disgusting promotional tactic. It's actually something that Terry Fierro leaked to me because he thought that I already knew the information. But, in fact, only four people, aside from Terry Fierro and myself, were privy to this information. Again, Craig, you know, please, you know, extend the olive branch to Brian Alvarez. Tell him to put his nose to the grindstone and see if he can't come up with something, because I do not want to be the one to break the news. Because I'm just going to be honest that it's not necessarily good news. So I'm going to leave it at that. Please join us on the 25th. The time will be posted on the board. It's still being negotiated what the time is going to be, but it's going to actually be two separate shows. It's going to be a show ran by Terry Fierro for 45 minutes, and then it's going to be a show on my blog talk run for another 45 minutes, because
we're not going to get just 45 minutes of Buddy Wayne. We're going to try to get Buddy Wayne on for over an hour, talking pro wrestling, what's going on in his life, et cetera, et cetera. So, gentlemen, I thank you for the time tonight. I'm enjoying the show, and I will listen from afar. Sniper out.
Cool, man. Thank you, Sniper. That was interesting.
No idea what he's talking about, I'll be honest with you.
So they probably to embarrass Brian, but, I mean, let's face it, there's like a million things I could embarrass Brian Alvarez if I wanted to.
Hey, you and me both, pal. I've got pictures.
We got about 10 minutes here. Are there any major ones that we... Oh, I know what I wanted to freaking talk about. Okay. Out to 10, I 2-1. Okay. We talked about Bruiser Brody not too long ago. And somewhat years later, Onita, who's like the big... Onita is like the Cactus Jack Terry Funk of Japan. He's the hardcore legend of Japan. He wanted to do an angle where he gets stabbed by Jose Gonzalez, who Jose Gonzalez is a son-of-a-bitch bastard who stabbed Bruiser Brody and murdered him and got off. And they wanted to do an angle like that, supposedly in Brody's honor. Brody was big in Japan, but I mean...
in his honor.
That is pretty fucked up. And also the fact that not sometime later they tried to make Jose Gonzalez a face in Puerto Rico, and that just totally turns me off to the whole country, state, or whatever the hell Puerto Rico is. It makes me not even want to go there or associate with anything fucking Puerto Rican because of that. It's like, how could anyone ever fucking cheer the guy who murdered Bruiser Brody?
Yeah, I mean, Brody was like, he was one of those, I mean, you think about people in wrestling history, he's one of the most universally loved characters, I would say.
By the fans.
By the fans, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Hello? You guys doing...
Hello?
What's up?
Yeah, well, Kutera was talking and he stopped.
No, I wasn't talking. I was through talking. I was just saying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, they never actually did the stabbing angle, did they?
They did something where they were going to get, like, they were getting some people to together, like it was a meeting between, like, the Puerto Rican and the Japan offices, FMW and WWC or something. And something would happen, and Jose would do something where he tries to stab Onita. And they kind of did something where he got stuck with something. They tried to find a doctor to give him stitches, but he didn't get stuck good enough to get stitches until they finally found somebody that would give him stitches or something. And I think basically he got shut down because nobody in Japan wanted to deal with it, and they just shit all over it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I can understand it. I mean, it's a stupid angle. It was, I mean...
And Japanese are respectful people, so they... kind of that silly bullshit. You
they're so respectful. When Alex Kozlov told the announcer to ask that they respectfully rise to the scene of the Russian national anthem, they rose for the national anthem. I mean, this is...
yeah, it would have been Nikolai in the ring, it would have been different. They
How could they think that was going to get over, you know? I mean, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that you talk about the biggest screw jobs, that trial, man, that's it. Fucked up shit.
Yeah.
People getting their subpoenas after the trial's over. I mean, come on. Some people probably just scared to go back. I would be. Shit. A bunch of crazy Puerto Ricans.
Yeah. But,
do we got
Craig,
it's not really that big of a deal, but back when I had a preteen daughter, and WWE was coming in this attitude era, just the character Goldust was so
offensive. you homophobe.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with him being in lingerie and getting stuffed into a porta potty.
Dressed as Baby New Year.
Right. I mean, how weird and wacky could it get? And, they never went and said he was gay. He had a hot.
With androgynous.
Hot wife. Yeah, I mean, he had a smoking hot wife who is apparently bat-ass crazy, but that's another story for another time.
He's one hell of a sinner.
I remember being at a WWE house show, and Tony Chimmel, after the show, would go around to the fans at ringside and ask the fans what they liked, and then, is there anything on the show that you didn't like? And time after time after time again, I heard, yeah, I didn't like that Gold Dust guy. wasn't offensive to me until he was Baby New Year and until Stone Cold was sticking him in a porta potty in garters and fishnets and such. But, yeah, a little strange, a little wacky, a little outrageous.
I like the character. Oh, I did like character when it got to that level. I like it when like it first came in, like when he was doing the stuff with like Razor Ramon and then Roddy Piper. I like that stuff. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, when he's the actual Goldust character, it's awesome. When he went a little wackier with it, that was.
Yeah, I think he could have been a bigger deal if they'd have kept on with it, like in his first couple of years. If they'd kept on with it, I think he could have been like a bigger star. But yeah.
Yeah.
And then I loved him when him and Booker T, when he was, you remember when he was a crocodile hunter and he found X-Pac?
Yeah, he says it's the elusive grease monkey sewer rat or something like that. Chico was asleep on the couch and he was snoring. Every time he snored, he'd say cheeseburger. Hey, they were some funny shit.
Speaking of Booker T, I've totally forgot about one, Kurt Angle and Charmel.
Oh, PCR or anything? You wanted to fuck her like an animal?
Oh, man, that was creepy.
I was going to, actually...
The Bobby Dempsey thing?
Well, not really, well, before the Bobby Dempsey thing, but, okay, I know you didn't see any of this, Craig. Maybe you read a little bit about it. I know you probably didn't see any of it, but as a born-again Christian, what did you think of the whole Kevin Sullivan satanic worshiping gimmick?
I didn't see it. Of course, I read about it. It was always in the, you know, in the Wrestler or one of the After Mags or whatever, but it was just a gimmick. I mean, if I got offended for everything that is supposed to offend me, I would be getting offended all the time. I don't get offended by you. I just know it's you.
Kitcher, did you see any of it?
No, I just saw like little bits and pieces when he was doing that stuff in Florida. I saw when he conjured up the purple haze from the ocean. He came out of the ocean. I mean, they get some heat with that shit back then. They did stories about people...
Yeah.
People firebombing cars and stuff because, you know, this satanic bullshit. And,
I'll tell you what, he was good at the part.
He was great at the part.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite characters of all time.
And Nancy Benoit was so damn hot at that time. I mean, she was always hot, but at that time, dang.
She was smoking.
They did some hardcore shit in Florida back then.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Mark Show, the O Show, well, stuff, or just tons more. And congratulations to Lady J for winning one of the prizes on the karaoke contest. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. And you can also see our shows at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrer. And older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. And you can friend me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. Laredo's LOREDO or Ed in San Antonio at Facebook. And you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And you can help promote the show by retweeting tweets and just plugging the show and shit like that.
You can follow me on Twitter also at PROPER Proper Jam. That's at Proper Jam. So follow me there.
Check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/Couture. I got about 150 videos up under Memphis for Memphis Wrestling. So everybody go check that out. There's a video of Jimmy Hart. He feels bad for Kamala because he hasn't been civilized very long, so he offers him women and watermelon. That's what goes on in the thing. That's just what happens. I'm not being racist. And also, from start to finish, I have like 35 videos of the whole Jerry Lawler, Andy Kaufman deal that you can watch from start to finish on there. So, if you're so inclined.
Good on you.
Now, speaking of, like, black people, remember when Roddy Piper came off half black face?
That was just stupid. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
How come I have no recollection of this?
This was at WrestleMania. We fought Bad News. You remember?
Yeah, Bad News was pissed off about it. He always talked about Piper being a racist and all this shit about him. Let's see. Trying to think of any, like, just little short things we could just... Oh, well,
the gangsters
what was the one you mentioned a minute ago? The what?
The gangsters in SMW, right after the OJ thing, when they came in, they were happy because there's two less of them people to worry about.
Yeah.
That was some hardcore stuff. And I remember Rick Morgan talking about how, some of the people that were living in those areas, he said, you better tell that boy to be careful. You know, we ain't got much of them around here. So.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I mean, New Jack was, it was awesome. It just, I guess it, like, kind of killed business or whatever, but as far as the performance, I mean, New Jack was looking awesome.
I mean, right in the middle of Klan country, you know?
Mustafa never really did anything. He just kind of stood there, but New Jack was up here.
New Jack came out with a watermelon for a promo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's nuts.
Yeah. You brought up something a minute ago, Craig.
The Charmel and Kurt Angle thing?
No. I was going to bring something up, and you thought I was going to bring something else up. Maybe somebody asked it on the board?
I'm not sure, Ed. I'm sorry. I was going to bring up the ECW.
Oh, Bobby Dempsey raping,
name? Yeah.
I didn't actually see the thing, but to me, basically, Allison Danger's laid out. Whoever, is it Hagedorn once?
Yeah.
No, or was it Larry? Was it Hagedorn or Larry?
I think it was Larry.
Wants him to take advantage of Allison Danger, and I don't think he ends up doing it, but then Larry, like, hits him over the head, and he falls 69th position on Allison Danger, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, remember we had Bobby on the show, I mean, really early when I started with you guys, we had Bobby on the show, and he said, you brought that up to him, and he said that was one of the most uncomfortable things he's ever done in his life.
Well,
can't
I can
imagine.
See it for him because he has to be, he's the one laying on top of her. I can see how he could feel uncomfortable. But, and like I say, I didn't see it, but from what I heard about it, it didn't really sound that bad to me. Like, it didn't sound like it deserved the uproar that it got at the time. You know, like I said, maybe if I see it totally, I'd have a different opinion. But to me, that always came off like it was the fans making... just looking for a reason. This was at the time where they wanted to start looking for reasons to bitch about ROH.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I mean, soon after that, they did the thing where they strung up the Briscoes and they were bleeding all over the place. And
that was more sickening than like disgusting. Well,
yeah,
in the way they discussed
it. Just the way it got over. I mean, you had... Jimmy Jacobs underneath them, basically dressed in white, with their blood just dripping all over his. I mean, ugh.
That was a pretty sick visual.
And then the one thing that we didn't bring up, and there isn't, I mean, there's footage of it. Excuse me, there's footage of it. And I've seen still shots of it, and I've seen in passing on
on ECW TV back in the day is Raven being crucified.
Sandman
being crucified with a barbed wire crown of thorns, as it were.
Yeah, that was on the ECW DVD, from the documentary. That's the first time I think it had been shown.
And Kurt Hager was appalled.
Yeah, he was in the building that night. And it was so bad and so controversial. They never showed it. They never showed it on TV. They didn't release it commercially. It was pretty hardcore.
And it made Raven apologize for it.
Yeah. Heyman.
I think one of the main things was, like, it was a bunch of Jewish guys doing this, like Todd Gordon, Paul Heyman, Raven.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing about it, but still, you know, I mean, I don't say I'm a religious person. I believe in God and all that, but I never really get into it, you know, like practicing and whatever. I just don't. But I don't know. I'm not offended by stuff like that. It just doesn't offend me. I can see how it would be, though.
I guess I'll say this. If they didn't offend a bunch of fans in the ECW arena, you know, that's not the best judge of character. Just saying.
Yeah, when you offend a bunch of fans there, that's an accomplishment.
Exactly.
And then Raven had to give his fake-ass apology.
He didn't want to be out there.
He's like,
he should have been Paul Heyman and them come out and done that instead of making him do it.
His mouth is saying, I'm sorry, and his body language is telling everyone, fuck you.
So it was more saying that I'm just doing this because they told me to. I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
Real quick, though, one more. This one, I know Craig was watching during the Wednesday night pay-per-view era at TNA when it started. Were you watching it back then?
They
had a thing with Roddy Piper and Vince Russo.
I thought you were talking about the midget jacking off in the trash can.
That's
Roddy
not it.
Piper showed up when Russo was doing all his goofy shit, and and he starts just blaming, and then he blames Russo for killing Owen Hart.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. And that offends me because I was a big Owen Hart fan and his name can never be used like in a storyline like that. So
yeah, that was.
And maybe Russo, maybe he was part of the, you know, like setting all that stuff up, you know, where he would be this laser character. But that's too big of a thing. I'm going to blame on him. I can't blame that on him. That's like total accident. I wouldn't want somebody to have that kind of guilt. You know, like for the rest of their life or something like that. I think that's really terrible. Bad taste.
Yeah, the really bad thing in bad taste and offended me is TNA back in the day got $40, $10 at a time out of me for 4 weeks in a row during the month. That offended me.
And then not only that, you had a Steve Bryan Alvarez, too.
Dude, he used to drive. I don't live next door to Brian. He lives an hour away. You know what I mean? He used to drive over every Friday to watch a 2-day-old pay per view. I couldn't. Oh my gosh. Anyway, and sometimes he'd bring Vince. Unbelievable.
So. Can we think of anything that has, like, a must talk about, or are we done?
We never said anything about Katie Vick.
Yeah, no
wow,
shit, okay. We'll end the show on Katie Vick.
I wasn't, like, offended by that, or it was in bad taste, but it was just fucking stupid.
He's fucking a corpse.
I love laughing funny when you put her brains out.
Yeah, he's fucking
put her brains out. And he has brains all over his hand. That was funny shit.
Poor Kane and the angles he'd have to be in.
This was, and the justification for this was, shows like CSI are really popular now, so I don't know how that correlates to screwing a corpse in a casket. I have no idea. Sounds something like
Kevin Dunn. Doesn't what the hell is his name from WrestleCrap? Don't those guys own the Katie Vick costume?
Yeah, they bought it bid for it on eBay or something.
Gosh.
They do. They bid on it and got it on eBay.
Unreal. Well, good for them.
We're falling in the actual angle. Knowing somebody bid on that and got it.
It's RD. Yeah, RD.
That is the nuttiest memorabilia I've ever heard of.
I'm sure you can find worse if you go to eBay.
Imagine that last one on eBay and sold whatever he was putting in his tights when he was a human tripod.
Oh, Lord.
Any more on Katie Vick, Kurt?
I just
that's Katie Vick, please. No more Katie Vick. Even Triple H said it was stupid and he didn't know why he did it.
Yeah, he's admitted that publicly, for crying out loud.
I remember when they were talking about Bad Taste real quick. Remember when they were pushing it to do like an incest angle with like Vince and Stephanie or something, wasn't it?
Look at her boobs and everyone made a bigger deal about it since?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Stephanie, everyone got pissed off when Stephanie equated the attack on the towers
9/11
and the federal government coming after the McMahon family.
Yeah, that was in bad taste. That was terrible.
That was just dumb.
That sounds like
everything about that show was awesome, and then you got Stephanie like fucking it all up.
Yeah, I mean the best part of that whole show, you got Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top of ringside. Paul Heyman says it's a Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant.
That's awesome. So, well, before we wrap up here, any last parting words, Craig?
Are we doing a show next week? I can't do a show next week. I'll leave it at that.
Thanksgiving, right? It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is Thursday, Craig. We do the show on Friday.
I know, but my family lives close, so we have to break up.
4-day weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually about a 10-day weekend because I'm not working next week. So
very short time.
I've had two hard days this week, and I'm off all next week. Yeah.
We can do a show if you want, Ed, or we can take a week off. It don't matter to me. We can come up with something.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll come up with something. I'm sure it'll be an awesome show because Craig won't be on it too.
It always is.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to put some information out there because I've got Internet Explorer on my Xbox now. So I just wanted to, for those that are inclined to do this, because some stuff you can stream on through Xbox and some you can't, but you can stream. You can stream X videos, Pornhub.com, uPorn.com, and uJizz.com through your Xbox. So,
all right, happy Thanksgiving.
Anybody's inclined to do that. That's what a friend
told me. Oh, and you do know you offended Dave Prezak last week, right, Craig?
I know. I didn't notice him. I'm sorry, Dave.
Was he in a porno or something?
No, he was on the Punk TV.
Craig was
on the Punk DVD, and I told him he wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dave kindly said, Craig, you might not have noticed me because I was 40 pounds thinner and also had the voice of a 10-year-old. And I thought that was his voice, but I didn't notice Dave, and I feel sorry because Dave didn't get the big ups from me. But I still stand by my statement. That CM Punk DVD is great. So go ahead and get that Asport for Christmas because it's awesome.
Cool.
And Dave's awesome in it too, even though I didn't notice him.
Any last final words, Couture?
No.
No, well, all I got to say is I was robbed. I should have won the karaoke contest. I was by far the greatest singer on there.
Oh, yeah.
My rendition of Operator by Jim Croce was just 5 stars. I'm sure you agree with me, Craig.
What was Rainy's problem last night?
She was grouchy.
I just read 3 and I hadn't listened to the show. So
she was like the most grouchy, negative. She was like, God, she didn't want AIDS. It's funny, she always wants these contests, but then when the contest isn't her idea, she could just care less about it and just like, she was being...
She'll be more upset when I posted in that thread.
Yeah, she was being everything she said I am in that promo she cut on me.
Well.
And she kept... Play Jeremy's, like the one that the guy who, of course, was going to win her vote because he sang fucking the barrel song. But and like I said, I was
pretty sure
that's
what it's called.
I was awesome. You can see my awesome. I hope the entire awesome performance is on my Facebook. So check it out. It's fucking awesome. It rules.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to watch all for cheap. Bunch of awkward shit with people singing. Weird.
And I had my cool given to me by an incredibly hot Irish girl named Pingu Girl who loved me so much she gave me sunglasses. Did she give you sunglasses, Craig? No.
No, I got
a really great hug from her, though.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one. I got another one coming in a few months, hopefully.
My excuse now.
Yeah, you can get the hell out of here. Go away.
I think I'm gonna go too.
Okay, go ahead. I'm trying to find the theme music, so go ahead and hang up
yeah.
And I'll be off.
Oh well, why don't you just sing us out?
Actually, I was trying to find it, dude. So hold on, give me a second, and I will give everyone a taste of my beautiful vocals. And if I can, okay, here it is.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners and downloaders. So, have a good one.
A burrito. Let's get the hell. Didn't make this. Oh, I got Dan already fucked up the whole thing. All right, anyway, everyone will talk to y'all later. That's the way they stick up. But let's get all that and give me the number if you can find it so I can call it. Oh, dude, I'm choking. I'm choking live on the air, so I'm in the song. I'm in the show.